We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It is Tuesday. It's April 25th. It's 2023. We have 9 baseball games to talk about here on today's main slate. Joined today by my good buddy, Dave Potts. Cheese is good. What's happening, my friend?
Not too much. It's good to see you. I guess it's the first time I've seen you this baseball season, about a month in. But, yeah, it's going good. We've had a lot of these. I like the way the slates have worked out. With all these like games starting at like 5:40, it's like the sites have done a good job of when they need to include those games, they do, and when they don't, they don't. So I like this ending up with a bunch of 8, 9, 10 game slates. I think that's worked out better than I was assuming it would.
Yeah, Dave is like on the opposite end of me. I hate it. I want all these games in there. I want people to be able to make bad choices with more games. Whatever. It is what it is.
I don't, because I would make some of those bad choices. So I don't want to
do that. Listen, I've ranted about this so much that I don't even want to go there anymore. But yeah, we've crossed paths on Crunch Time and Grinders Live a couple times this MLB season. But first time we get to talk baseball, one of my favorite people to talk baseball with. Love your mindset when it comes to baseball. So excited to jump in to this 9-game slate. What's up, YouTube? Hope you're having a fantastic Monday night. We're just going to jump right in. Like, we're not going to waste any time. 9 games. Yeah. I know we're going to rant about stuff, so let's get into it. I'm sitting here just, like, hoping that Jordan Montgomery can somehow get out of this first inning without getting too much damage. So I'm sweating that a little bit. But first game of the night, we got the White Sox and the Blue Jays. 9 total in this game. Clevinger against Berrios. The Blue Jays a 184 favorite here. Any thoughts on Mike Clevinger?
I think I was not the only one waiting for him to kind of fall apart. And he still hasn't really fallen apart. But, like, this is probably the worst 3.26 ERA pitcher through 4 starts that you could find. Like, I think he's terrible, horrible, awful, and certainly wouldn't play him as a pitcher. Like that first game of the year, he struck out some batters. Otherwise, he's looked like me out there, basically, like hoping he gets more strikeouts than walks, but he doesn't. Like, he has more walks than strikeouts since that first game. I think he's horrifyingly bad.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Clevinger is nothing like he was pre-injury and, 4 years ago, Mike Clevinger. Cleveland, Mike Clevinger. 2018, 2019, Clevinger's just not a thing anymore.
And he was good for such a short little time. It was great for that little time, but like he's never been the same.
No, I agree with you.
I don't think it's coming back.
Yeah, and like what's crazy about him too is like the numbers just say stay away from this guy. 6.5 xFIP this season, almost double his ERA. I mean, like you said, his walk rate is almost as high as his strikeout rate after that first game. I mean, he pitched really well against Houston, but I mean, a lot of people have pitched well against Houston this year with this lineup not being the same. So I'm off of Clevinger as well. No interest whatsoever. He is better against righties. It's a pretty right-handed heavy lineup. Not enough reason for me to play Mike Clevinger today. You know, the other side of this game too, geez, Berrios is someone that hasn't looked Jose Berrios like to start the season, but the flip side of it is like his advanced numbers are actually saying that like he's getting a little unlucky. He's going to have some positive regression coming. Do you have any interest in Berrios here going up against the White Sox?
Because of the way this slate works out, like we're going to run into a lot of good pitchers. And like, he's kind of at the bottom of the pricing tier, but still not by enough. I generally kind of like picking on the White Sox this year with righties. And like you said, I think he's actually, you know, fine, but I don't love that. You know, he's clearly not a strikeout guy. They kind of just keep dwindling down. He's like a pretty good real life pitcher in a pretty good matchup. But on a slate where I just don't think we need him. Like I wouldn't tell you he's unplayable, but he's pretty much in no man's land for me.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers aren't bad. And the biggest concern for me is like he hasn't thrown over 77 pitches in three straight starts now. He was pitching well against Houston last time out. I don't know if it was just they got down and, you know, they weren't going to like let him go deeper into that game because they really didn't need to. But I mean, the White Sox lineup that they rolled out on Monday was not good at all. I mean, if it's that same type of lineup, there's upside in that lineup type. But I think I'm with you. There are some good pitchers on the slate. We're going to talk about them. There's some good pitchers on the slate. So I'm more likely to play Berrios than I am Clevinger. I'll say that about these
two. Oh, yeah.
Bats here, anything that piques your interest for the White Sox?
So, no. The White Sox, like I said, the reason I don't hate Berrios, even though he's not going to make my pool, is just because the White Sox against righties are just kind of blah. The good news in that, I guess, at least, you know, on DK, like, they're cheap. Like Jimenez at 3,300 and Vaughn at 2,900. And like, yeah, they're cheap, but they're also cheap for a reason. So that's going to be like an MME play. I mean, if I do 100 lineups, I'm going to have some White Sox, but they're not going to be anywhere in my sort of primary pool.
Yeah. I mean, this lineup it's just not good. I mean, there's talented hitters in this lineup. They haven't shown up to the majors yet this season. So I think I'm going to pass on the White Sox. I think the Blue Jays are interesting. I think Clevinger is someone that I have no issues picking on. Like his walks, his command, you know, the command has been such an issue for him that, you know, Philadelphia hit a couple home runs against him last start. And I mean, he really didn't get blown up in that game, but I mean, he was out in the third inning and then you're getting into the bullpen. I mean, that early is always a good thing, especially White Sox are like a bottom five bullpen to start the season. So if this Blue Jays stack can get Clevinger out early and get into that bullpen, I mean, the ceiling is high for a talented team like this.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Like you're kind of playing this, like just about every time Toronto faces a righty, unless it's just a completely horrendous righty, which again, I kind of think Clevinger is, so I'm going to have a little more, but they're better suited to play against either a lefty or at least a fly ball righty. And with those top three bats being so pricey, it's pretty much just a stack. Like I'm not going to prioritize paying up for Springer or Vlad or something on the slate. Even though you always do it, sure. But yeah, kind of like you said, I'm looking for the bullpen game. You know, they get three or four runs and knock Clevinger out in four innings and then kind of go crazy. So I do like the stack. I'll say a ton. They're near the top of my board overall. It's hard to just kind of pick out one or two guys. Varsho would be the one that I would pick out, but otherwise I'm looking for a stack.
Just seems to be like underpriced on the sites, like across the industry. for, I mean, he's a talented hitter. He's in a really good lineup spot and a really good lineup. Like, I love the addition of Varsho to this Blue Jays lineup. So, yeah, I mean, he'd be the one guy, but I think I'm stacking this. Like, I think this is a spot that I really agree with you as far as I want to stack this. You know, I think that's where you're going to, you know, generate your upside here.
Agreed.
All right. We got the Nationals and the Mets facing off. No total in this game. Gray is confirmed for Washington, and it sounds like it's going to be Jose Budo pitching for the Mets. So we'll have to kind of see.
Yes, that sounds like a real person's name for sure.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's how he pronounces it, but we'll roll with
it. I mean, we're going to say that it is.
All right, let's talk Josiah Gray. Mets, I mean, they just have continued what they were doing last year. They are just death to right-handed pitching. They don't strike out. They put the ball in play. They're patient. They work counts. Any interest in a guy like Josiah Gray against a team like this?
No. Now, and I talked about this last week in the article. I'll probably mention it again today. Like, Josiah Gray is a little better this year, like, in real life. Like, he's changed just enough that, like, he's not giving up 4,000 home runs every 30 minutes. And I think that's real. But with that, the strikeouts have come down. The control is still not great. And it's the Mets. And, like, there are better pitchers on this slate. So it's an easy pass for me.
Yeah, easy. I mean, easy pass for me, too. Like, I agree with you. I think that he is pitching better. But with that said, I mean, I don't like to play anybody right-handed against the Mets. I mean, they're a really tough offense to beat. Let's talk Jose. We'll call him Jose Budo.
Yeah.
I mean, Oakland last time out, 5 innings, pretty clean. Walks more than strikeouts. Roker just hit another home run if you were on the Oakland train with me. So, man, I had so much interest in Oakland today. And I just need my pitching. I have a Strider Montgomery Oakland team out there somewhere. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I called Strider being good today because I'm such a genius.
You're a genius. Like,
it's crazy like that he was 90% owned and that was way too low. Like,
yeah,
10% of the people just weren't even trying today.
It was so funny to me too. Like they were interviewing Chipper Jones in that game and they're like, he's like, dude, I'd hit 200 in like baseball right now. Just how good it is. All right, so back to Jose Budo. Any interest here going up against this? Like, I mean, I think we can call them atrocious Washington offense.
We can't. I mean, so there's a bunch of cheap pitching on this slate that's like on almost any other slate, I would be interested. But like, you know, I won't, spoiler alert, like we're going to get to a later game that has two really great cheap pitchers that make all the earlier cheap pitchers just kind of, yeah, sure, like, I think he'll probably be worth 5,500. I don't probably is not the word. I think he's kind of worth 5,500, but there are way better cheap pitchers later that I like. So basically no.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, looking, Nelson, Jesus Aguilar just hit a home run too. They are just teeing up like Jose Suarez. Just getting teed up on by Oakland. I hope everyone listened to me yesterday on the podcast. So
that is, but yeah, tremendous stuff.
I mean, Oakland just seemed like they set up so well, and they were just a team that was under 10% everywhere. I think Roker ended up with pretty decent ownership, like in that 8-12 range. But yeah, anyway, I mean, Jose Budo, I think he's okay. I don't know if he has like the ceiling to win you a tournament. I think he's okay. Not a guy that I end up on likely. I'm not stacking Washington. I mean, there's just no one to play on this Washington team outside of Meneses. Any interest in the Washington bats here?
I mean, it needs to be like a 3-game slate for me to have interest in the Washington bats. I mean, that's one of those where I say, yeah, if I do the 100 lineups, I'll stack every team once on a 9-game slate. But it's just a bad team, and I don't see much reason to mess with. Yeah, No, I would love to say something nice, but I have nothing nice to say.
There's nothing nice to say. Let's just be honest. Like, we call it how it is. No one from this organization's listening to the podcast. It's fine. Mets bats. I mean, they're a little interesting. I hate the ballpark. I hate stacking in the ballpark. Like you said, Gray's home run numbers down a little bit this season. I mean, they're going to put the ball in play. We saw Atlanta hit a few home runs against him earlier on in the season. Really hasn't been blown up. I mean, just the command is always concerning against a team like the Mets. It's just, it's so hard to stack the Mets in this ballpark.
Yeah. So I'm kind of at this point right now with Josiah Gray where I'm still not, like, we don't know for sure anything, right? And, like, he was such a ridiculous home run jabroni last year and into the first start of this year. Like, three starts of, oh, I have a new pitch that I'm throwing 20% of the time. Doesn't totally just make that go away. And like you say, the Mets do have two ways they can be a winning stack. Like, the home runs can come back, or they could just put the ball in play 100 times in a row and enough of them go in, and then you got this bad bullpen. So, yes, I do have Mets interest. I'll play Alonso or Lindor on their own, and I'll definitely stack.
I think you can play Nimmo on his own, too. Like, he's a guy that presents
upside. Look at his price. You know where he's at?
He's at 4,300 on DraftKings. So,
yeah,
I don't have FanDuel pulled up in front of me. But, I mean, just thinking about, like, his stolen base upside, and he has a little bit of pop. And, I mean, he's been getting on base at such a high clip to start the season. I think he's another guy that you can kind of play by himself.
Such a good real-life baseball player.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
So, yeah, I do like the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, looking at – so Nimmo is 3,500 on FanDuel, so more, maybe a little bit more of a standalone play on DraftKings.
Yeah.
35 is still not terrible. I mean, I think at least like a three-man stack makes sense. Lindor, Nimmo, Alonso, and then if you're doing that, you're probably finding, you know, a fourth or fifth piece unless you have a cheap stack to go with it. So anyway, all right, we're moving on. Miami at Atlanta. Man, oh, man, Strider. Morton now gets a chance at this awesome Miami team, and it sounds like we're going to get a call up here with Brian Hoeing pitching for the Miami Marlins. Hoeing is 8,300 on DraftKings today.
That was like the strangest thing I saw when I pulled that up.
I don't get it. I didn't see him in the player pool on FanDuel. They have added guys in the morning of like slates this year, where the last year they didn't do that a ton. So we'll see if he gets added. Any interest here in Brian Hoeing?
Oh, sure. I mean, really, like, he might, I don't know, maybe he's figured something out this year. Like, he struck out a bunch of guys in a couple AAA starts, and he gets ground balls, and that's all fine and nice, but obviously no. I don't have interest in Brian Hoeing for 8,300 in Atlanta.
Yeah, hey, you're going to get called up and you're going to get the Braves. I mean, just looking at his strikeout numbers in AAA, you know, last season, full season, 94 innings, 6.3% swinging strikes, 12% Ks in AAA last year.
It's not great.
This year, through 17 innings, higher swinging strike rate, higher strikeout rate. But it's three starts compared to 17 starts. So, like, what am I going to rely on? Maybe, like you said, maybe he's touching stuff differently. But, like, this isn't, like...
Like, if he were $5,000, I don't think we'd be playing him, right?
Right. No, I mean, this isn't, like, a high prospect, right? Like, this isn't, like, a top 50 guy. This is a guy that, I mean, projects, like, you know, just kind of looking at, like, the bat projections for him, like long term this season. I mean, he doesn't project to be a big strikeout guy.
18%.
Yeah.
So, and that's probably a generous.
That's very favorable. I mean, when you're looking at all the other ones and stuff, it's probably very favorable. So I think we're going to be looking at these Atlanta bats today. But Charlie Morton, he really just hasn't had it yet. Like, and he's had some decent matchups. He got Kansas City. They're one of the worst teams in baseball against right-handed pitching. Do we trust Charlie Morton here at 8,600 against this Marlins offense?
That's going to be a no for me. I need to see it one time. Like, once you get to be 39 years old,
yeah,
you have to show me something before I'm going to play you on a slate like this. Now, if we had no pitchers at all, I mean, sure, because he, you know, he's been good every other year and it's the Marlins. But no, like he's not in my top five for sure. Probably not even seven or eight. I still lean towards thinking he's going to be pretty good above average, but he's definitely on the downside, and I'm not completely sure that he's not just more or less done. So on this slate, I'm not playing him.
Just a huge dip in like strikeouts for him this season. Like he's a guy that like we could kind of count on him to have like a 24 to 26% K rate. He's sitting at like 16% this year.
Yeah, and the swinging strikes are down under 10. It's just kind of scary when he's 39 years old.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, and like, are we going to see a bump in ownership for recency bias after watching Strider just, you know, mow through this offense? Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
No. Like, because there, like, enough people will follow projections, and I don't think he'll be projected that high. And it, people aren't really fooled by that anymore. Like, they know it was Spencer Strider. If it was like anyone other than Strider who had the big game against Miami,
yeah,
I think it would carry some weight. But I think everyone knows enough about Strider. I don't think that'll really happen.
Yeah, I'm on the fence on Morton. I'm probably not going to play him. It's hard to say that, you know, especially when you're looking at a Miami team. But like, I think like I need to see it too. Like his swinging strikes are just down so much that I'm just overly concerned that, I mean, he just might be done. Like, not fully done. Like, still probably slightly above average overall this season.
Done being an $8,600 DFS pitcher.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, just looking at his advanced stats too, batted ball profile and stuff, like, I mean, he needs some help. All right. But that doesn't say I'm going to go out and play a lot of Miami, if any Miami. I definitely trust Morton enough to go out here and throw six, you know, give up one or two runs and, I mean, not get blown up and enough where like this stack doesn't work and this bullpen is, you know, above average. I mean, I just don't see myself using any Miami bats here.
Yeah, there's really no particular reason to like, it's not like you think Morton's going to get shelled. You expect him to throw five or six innings, give up three or four runs with five strikeouts. Like you don't need that, but you don't need that against him either. I might play, you know, Jazz in a lineup, smooth Jazz Chisholm, but basically let's just skip that side of the game.
Gosh, as much as I like Zach Gallen on Arizona, like, man, could you imagine Jazz with this young core that Arizona has right now? Like, be such a good, anyway. All right, Atlanta. I mean, this seems like a spot we should be stacking up the Braves. I mean, they're expensive, but I feel like this is a spot where it's somewhat worth it. Like, I mean, this guy doesn't grade out as a big strikeout guy, and if you're not missing bats against the Braves, they're just going to punish you.
Yeah, I think unless they're facing the greatest pitcher ever, like, I think you're playing the Braves every day as one of your main teams. Like, this team is just fantastic. And, yeah, like, maybe, just maybe, there's something to Hoeing's, like, all of a sudden he's striking guys out at Triple-A this season in 17 innings, but probably not. And even if he is, I don't particularly care. Yeah, I think we're very obviously playing the Braves, and I would – kind of not even care who I'm playing, like just assume they're going to see Hoeing for four or five innings anyway. And they'll get the bullpen and they can have that 8-run inning, like at any point in the game, we've seen it enough. Nice the way they line up with, they've got the expensive guys, but then they still have all these super cheap guys that can hit homers.
Yeah. But Hillard had two tonight, right?
Yeah.
Rosario hit a home run, like both the under 3K guys hit home runs for Atlanta. So like the stack, when that happens, the stack is just so hard to beat. I think like Acuna was like one of the lowest scoring hitters for the Braves lineup today.
Yeah, I think he got 2 points.
Yeah. All right. Detroit at Milwaukee. This game is currently at 8.5, and the Brewers are a 166 favorite. We got Turnbull and Lauer facing off against each other. Any interest here in Spencer Turnbull?
So I kind of started writing a little bit of the article, and like what I said is I'm super glad that we have cheap pitchers to like in the later games, because if we didn't, I would be playing a bunch of Spencer Turnbull, and I wouldn't really feel great about it. Like he is also not looked good. Like he's not striking people out. The control has been a little sketchy, but he's still getting his ground balls. And like, he's never been a bad pitcher. He's always been an above average pitcher. And I just kind of believe in the talent enough that I think him for 5,200 is, I mean, I think he's far better than Mike Clevinger, who's 7,700. I think he's essentially the same guy as Berrios, who's 8,100. And I don't love the Milwaukee lineup. So I do think he is playable at 5,200. He still ends up not super high on my list because we have two other cheap guys later that I like better. But I'm kind of on board-ish with Spencer Turnbull. And it's kind of just blind hope because he hasn't done it this year. But I allow myself to have that optimism.
Yeah, I mean, my concern with him has just been his command. His he's all over the place. He's not getting ahead in counts. So I don't want to play him today. Like you said, I think we have some other options. Eric Lauer, 8,800 for Eric Lauer. Seems like a lot. Seems like a lot.
It does, doesn't it?
Hey, listen, going back to your like Turnbull thing, I was like, I said yesterday with Matt Boyd that it doesn't feel great, but it could work. And I mean, I think he ended up around 20 fantasy points.
Yeah,
he
Boyd had some was good.
So,
I mean, Turnbull does it in a different way, you know?
Yeah.
Like Boyd can give up the runs, but still get the strikeouts, where Turnbull needs the BABIP on his side too, because of the ground balls.
All right. Eric Lauer on the other side of this game. He's been atrocious against righties to start the season. He's allowed at least one home run in every single start. This is one of the worst offenses in baseball. And the thing that's interesting about Detroit is like they can't get away from all of these lefties. I mean, they can get some of these guys out of there, but they're still going to have some lefties in there. Is there any interest in Lauer at 8,800? Assuming, like, I would assume the roof is going to be closed. It's supposed to be cold again in Milwaukee, like in the 40s. So, what are your thoughts here on Lauer?
Yeah, I'm super conflicted about this one. Like, when you look at the skills, it's kind of just like, bleh. And yet, three of his four starts have been 20 DK points. I mean, and he hasn't yet had a big strikeout game, which he probably will. But, like, he's an average pitcher who – the strikeouts are down this year and the swinging strikes are way down. And even the Detroit righties, like any righty can hit homers off of him. And like I keep saying with every, eventually we must come to some of these good pitchers I'm talking about, but it's like all of these early games, there are better pitchers the later we get in the night. And so I don't feel like I need this guy. But I like him more than Morton as far as everyone we've touched on so far. But just barely, and that's kind of where it's at.
I think Lauer goes out and puts up 20 to 25 DK points. I think he goes out and he throws 6 to 7 solid innings, gives up a run or two, 4 or 5 strikeouts. Just a solid, like just goes out and has a solid start. I don't know if that's enough. I don't know if it's enough at 8,800 today.
I think it's not. That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
You look at that game log and it's like, yeah, there's no reason he shouldn't have another one of those starts. But I don't know if I care.
Any interest in the Detroit bats here?
Yes. Probably more for just like kind of some cheap right-handed fill-ins. Like this is not so much, oh, hey, I've got a stack Detroit. But we'll have to wait and see what the lineup looks like. But, you know, like a cheap Javi Baez or I'd like to see Eric Haas up in the lineup a little bit, Torkelson. But too many of their better hitters are lefties. So I don't see how I'm going to like a stack. And even if they put a bunch of righties in, you would have to assume they would all get pinch hit for if they get to him. So I just don't love it as a stack, but I'll pick out a cheap bat here or there.
Baez 3,300 at shortstop. I mean, if you don't want to pay up, and I think both, either of these catchers, Haas or Rogers, like if Rogers is in there, I have a ton of interest in him.
I would take them both. Yeah.
Yeah. So either one of these catchers is like punt catchers. The problem is like they DH Miggy, and like it will lead to probably one or the other of these guys being in there unless they give Cabrera a day off. But
I think they should do that every day.
I know. Call it a career. You have a Hall
like of let him career. And him and Bumgarner just go for a walk and just not come back. Yeah. And not in a bad way. Like they can walk to the Hall of Fame. Whatever.
I miss Bumgarner, man. I already miss him.
Yeah.
I already miss him. I need him back. I need him back in my life. All right. Yeah, I mean, cheap righties, Torkelson, Baez, and either one of these catchers, not stacking them, taking some one-offs here. I don't hate that. And then going to the other side of this game, like, I mean, Turnbull has struggled this season. You know, he's generating a lot of fly balls and hard contact to righties. So, like, an Anderson, a Adames, a Luke Voit type plays, I don't hate that. But, again, I don't think I'm going out of my way to stack Milwaukee either. Maybe a secondary stack, but I don't think they're like a full-end stack for me today.
Yeah, I think they're a good secondary stack if you either are going cheap pitcher or a cheaper stack and do like Tellez, Adames, and one of the outfielders or something. They're certainly stackable because, like you said, Turnbull's control has been a little wonky. You can get Babbitt around for sure, and then the bullpen. So, yes. But mostly just one or two of these big bats.
All right, we got the Yankees and the Twins again. Seven total. Here we go. Let's talk some pitching. Pick'em game. Cortes and Ryan facing off against each other. We'll start here with Nestor Cortes. Any interest in him going up against Minnesota?
Yes, we finally get to a couple of these better pitchers I'm talking about, like both pitchers in this game. I would say these are the two best pitchers on the slate. And these are not like super aces. Not like DeGrom's facing Cole here. So Cortes has been super consistent this year. I see no reason that shouldn't continue. Like above average strikeouts, really good control, 90 plus pitches. Like he's just like a quality start waiting to happen every time. The Twins are fine, but not great. To me, he's enough better than Lauer or Morton that even in a slightly tougher matchup, I just prefer Cortes. It's just a really trustable skill set, and 9,900 is totally fair. So, yes, interest for me.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm comparing the two, like if I'm comparing Ryan and Cortes, I think I go Ryan. Like, I'm a firm believer in this kid. I think that he has incredible talent and he has really good, like, dominating strikeout stuff. Like, we saw him strike out 10 against the Yankees already this season. The Yankees lineup already banged up. Like, this is a tale old as time for this Yankees lineup. And we're looking at, like, a projected starting lineup sitting around, like, a 26 to 27% K rate. Sonny Gray had no issues with this lineup. I think right now, first look, Joe Ryan's my guy today.
Absolutely agree. Yeah, if you've read my stuff this year, like I just love this guy. Like I think he's already very good, like coming into the season, and then he already has 2 10 strikeout games. I think he's completely real. It seems like a lot to pay 10-5 for him against the Yankees, but it's pretty easy to go cheap at SP2 if you want to. And there's plenty of ways you could do Ryan and Cortes together with a cheap stack. But, yeah, Ryan's my SP1 for sure. Cortes is close behind as my SP2. But, I think the strikeout upside is very real. And then even when the strikeouts don't show up, like in his last start, like he's still a very good real-life pitcher who will just go out and put up a quality start. So it's kind of like high floor, high ceiling. I am a huge fan.
Woo. Yeah, I mean, he's good. He's good, man.
Yep.
He's one of these guys that I'm like excited to watch for like the next, 5 to 10 years pitch. So Very talented. Hope he stays healthy. But I mean, you know, we talked about like Cortez's like consistency. I mean, this is a guy that's thrown six innings every single start this season, over six strikeouts in three of those four games. Like, I mean, the Red Sox are just not striking out. They're just not striking out this season. And I mean, so I don't want to like fault him for that too much. We'll note that it's going to be in the, you know, mid 40s again in this Minnesota, you know, Yankee game, kind of the same conditions that we had on Monday. So, I mean, that's always a plus to the pitching. Bats in this game, anything jumping off the page to you for the Yankees?
No. I mean, Aaron Judge is always in my player pool every single day, no matter what, period. But he's certainly not someone to go after and get. Like, Joe Ryan strikes out every righty. I mean, Rizzo's really the primary play. He's cheaper, and you still want lefties against Ryan. I don't want lefties against Ryan, but if you have to pick someone out, it would be a lefty. So, you know, sure, Anthony Rizzo's fine, but officially, this is a pitching game more than a hitting game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like bats on either side of this game. You know, like, if you wanted to try to find the home run, sure, but I'm not. I just don't see. I mean, there might be a combined one or two home runs here, but like, just trying to figure out where they're going to come from is really tough. I don't think I'm touching the bats in this game.
Yeah, it's pretty unnecessary.
Not when we have like so many like above average like spots today, hitting wise. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about like three or four of them. So
yeah, if you're spending up, like spend up for the Blue Jays or the Braves instead. Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Much better hitting conditions, much better matchup. Yeah. So, all right. So we have San Diego at Chicago taking on the Cubs. 7.5 total. Whenever I see a 7.5 total in Wrigley, I'm not too concerned about like what potentially the wind is going to be doing. Steele and Snell facing off against each other. Just a quick look here at Wrigley. Winds blowing in around 14 miles an hour with 40 to 45 degree weather. So don't think the ball is going to be traveling too much in Wrigley tonight. Or tomorrow night, whenever you listen to the podcast. Blake Snell, not the best start to the season, man. If I remember correctly, this is kind of what he did last year. He kind of went off to a slow start and then kind of got rolling. Do you have any interest in Snell going up against the Cubbies?
So, Blake Snell, in many ways, he is like the worst pitcher that has ever lived. And yet in many ways, he's going to win some slates every year. And he's going to win some slates this year. Like, that's just the way it works. You look at the game log any year you want, just pick out any time you want. And it's like, sucks, 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 walks, walks, walk, 10 strikeouts, 12 strikeouts, walk, walk, walk. Like, I don't expect anything different this year. He's got, you know, one game where he struck everybody out, three games where he's been horrific. The pitching conditions, the matchup, none of that is relevant to anything. Like, it is always Blake Snell against himself. And I'm not going to play this game where I pretend like I can tell you when the good Blake Snell is going to show up. No one can. Blake Snell cannot tell you. The general rule is you play him when other people aren't playing him. I think that because the weather's good and because the bat always loves him because of what the upside is, I think he'll still be pretty popular, which means I don't like him. But he is absolutely going to have a couple of slate winning games this year. One could happen Tuesday night, but it's more likely that he's Blake Snell, which is the same as saying he is terrible.
I think like if you're playing 150, you always have some exposure to Snell and always have some exposure to the team he's facing. I mean, that's just...
yeah.
I think that's the way to approach Blake Snell. But, I mean, if we look at the Cubs lineup against left-handed pitching this season, they've been really tough to beat. I mean, it's still very early in the season. We don't get as much sample size against lefties than we do against righties. But 121 WRC plus, which is tied for fifth highest in baseball. They're hitting the ball hard. The lineup can go very right-handed heavy. You know, adding Mancini off in the offseason, adding Swanson. You know, we know Hap's a switch hitter. So, I mean, the hitting conditions aren't great, but Snell is just one of those guys. Like, if you're playing a bunch of teams, you take some shots on him. I'm with you. Like, when he's not chalky, I really like taking shots on him more. I like him in tough matchups when no one's playing him, and those are the games I feel like he gets up for. But
yeah, exactly, because yeah, matchup is not relevant. Like, if he's on, he's going to win, and if he's not, he's going to lose. Doesn't matter who he's facing. So yeah, that's the play. And I just think it'll be chalky-ish.
The interesting one is the other side of this game, right? Justin Steele. Yeah. He's shown some big upside. Adding, you know, Tatis back to the lineup. I mean, the top end of this lineup is going to be really tough for lefties with Tatis, Machado, Bogarts. I don't even know if I'd consider Nelson Cruz like tough to beat anymore, but he's still there. What are we thinking here with Steele going up against this Padres team?
So I'm enough of a fan of Steele that like I officially think he pitches well and I like him, except like he's very clearly below Ryan and Cortez, and he's priced right in between them. So I feel like he's a pretty easy pass in primary lineups. Like, like you say, San Diego is just a little too good against righties. Given that, as much as I like Steele and I think he's for real, I don't think he's as good as Ryan or Cortez. And I don't like the matchup as well. So it really just makes it kind of easy. Like, toss him in the MME mix. But no, just give me those other guys.
He's the highest priced pitcher on FanDuel today at 11-4. So he's over Ryan and Cortez today.
See, I thought – so they – that's interesting because FanDuel priced him up last week for the Oakland start, which I thought was great and sharp. I thought it was – I thought they would bring him back down when the matchup changed. I guess not. So they like him even more than I do.
You're giving him too much credit there,
team. Yes, I guess.
I just want to note that like he is the most expensive pitcher over there. So I think it's really tough to play him over Ryan for $400 more. But I mean, his ownership's going to be really low. So like, if you do want to take that pay up to be contrarian and Ryan's just not on his game thought process, I guess game theory, but I mean, we both clearly have Ryan number one over Steele today. I mean, just kind of thinking about the bats in this game, gosh, the hitting conditions are not good. Two above average pitchers, right? I think we have to like classify Snell as an above average pitcher when he's on his game. Steele has been an above average pitcher this year. Is there any interest here in the Padres bats?
It's a tough one. Like, if we had neutral hitting conditions at Wrigley, I would have a little interest on both sides, but still not a ton. So I think it's pretty darn far down the list.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I mean, guys like Tatis and Machado, I mean, they can hit the ball out in any kind of weather, sure. But you have to pay top dollar, and Jeffrey Steele's good on top of it. So more or less, the answer would be no.
I mean, the pricing is really, really tough to – I mean, when you're considering the talent for Steele and you're considering the conditions for hitting, it's really tough to say, hey, I'm going to stack – even if you do like a mini stack, it's just, they're so expensive. So, I mean, that's my struggle. The Cubs bats, I mean, like I said, like in a 150 lineup situation kind of thing, I think I have interest in like Cubs bats and Steele or Snell, but They're a stack for me. I don't think I'm trying to hit one-offs here. You know, Yan Gomes has turned back time, and he's hitting everything over the fence right now. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, the Cubs are good against lefties. So I want to have some interest. But again, the conditions just have me off a little bit.
Yeah. If it was good weather conditions, I would be like – the Cubs would be my highest owned team by far. I don't know if by far, but I would have a lot of stacks. But they do need that help. Like, they're that team that kind of just – they hit the ball in the air just enough, but they're not, like, so great that they're going to just hit five homers through the wind. So I'll have a couple stacks, but not – I'm not going crazy here.
All right, Oakland at L.A. taking on the Angels. Miller and Canning facing off. 9 total in this game. The Angels are 184 favorite. Thoughts here on Mason Miller?
Yeah, so this is the game I was talking about earlier with those other cheap pitchers. Who I said, well, there's other cheap pitchers later that I like better. It's the two in this game. Mason Miller's gotten a lot of chatter, and we're going to hear a lot about him all day about, you know, where did this guy come from? Is he really the best pitcher of all time already? I never heard of him a week ago. I see no reason to doubt that he's going to be an absolutely fantastic per inning strikeout guy immediately and forever. However, like, he's still 4 innings into his major league career and like barely 20 innings into his whole professional career. He's going to have some bad outings. And they're not going to push him at any point, like pitch count wise, innings wise. The Angels are still good. So, like, officially, I love him. I'm playing him a lot, even though I think he's going to be chalky. But, like, I do want to caution that, like, there's a lot we don't know about this guy. Plenty of ways it can go wrong. But yeah, I think he should be $8,000. So I'm definitely playing him.
Yeah, big fastball, good slider changeup mix. I mean, big fastball in the majors is always a good thing. My concern here with him, outside of pitch count, I think he might just be too early. I think time will tell if that's the case or not, but like, I think he might be too early. I think like he needs some more AAA innings, but I mean, if you're Oakland, what's the harm in bringing him up? So it's a catch 22 thing. I love the price tag for his strikeout ability that he's shown in the minors so far. And with this big electric fastball, I think that like you have to have some interest. I mean, especially when you're thinking of this lineup and like how many potential right-handed bats are in the lineup, you know, and the lefties outside of Ohtani, not the best. So I have some interest in him for sure. I have more interest in Griffin Canning on the other side of this game though. I think Griffin Canning is a really solid pitcher. I think Oakland, while they're crushing tonight, and I love every second of it, they are going to be better against left-handed pitching than they are against right-handed pitching this season. What are your thoughts on Griffin Canning here?
Yeah, like I love both pitchers in this game. And I think Canning is more of a – I mean, he's not a sure thing because, like, he's barely come back still, like – and it's not like he's come back super strong, but I love that they let him throw 100 pitches last week.
That was huge.
To me, that's a really positive sign. And yet righties against Oakland are a whole different thing than lefties against Oakland. And really the guy's been an above average pitcher pretty consistently for, I guess it's not a long career, but 3 years. I also think he should just be more expensive. Like the fact that the guys in this game are 6,400 and 5,700, while like Berrios and Clevinger are 8,000. I think it's just silly and they should all be flip flopped. So, yes, I have a ton of interest on both sides. I'll have a bunch of lineups with Cannon and Miller as my two pitchers. And I agree. Like, I think I'll say I like Cannon better. Although I do kind of want to wait and see what the chatter's like, what projected ownership is like. I think Miller's going to pick up a bunch of steam just because everyone on Twitter is going to be talking about him. You know how Twitter does. But maybe the fact that Canning should project higher will make him more popular. But really, either way, I don't care. I just think they're both too cheap, and I'm playing both of them.
Canning's like $2,000 too cheap after seeing him throw 1,000 or 100 pitches against the Yankees last time out. Like, knowing that like his upside is now 100 pitches against a team like Oakland, he's $2,000 too cheap on DraftKings. So I like that he's 8,800 on FanDuel. I like that like the decision is a lot harder for Canning over there. Mason Miller 7,500 over there. He's probably going to be like the cheaper like option, but I mean, Blake Snell is 76 on FanDuel. So like that is an option in that range as well. So very interesting build on FanDuel night before, kind of just looking at it. So I think there's going to be like way different builds you're going to see on FanDuel and DraftKings today, which I mean, that happens a lot. Any Oakland bat interest here?
Not really. I mean, it's like they're cheap enough that I think, and they do have some power. I mean, like obviously the, what we're seeing tonight slash last night was against a lefty and a little fluky, but I mean, they have a little power and they're super cheap. So, and Canning, for whatever it's worth, you know, reverse splits power has been kind of his main thing. So yeah, it's viable. But it's pretty far down the list.
Roker. I'm interested. I like this kid. He's hitting righties and lefties. He hits the ball up in the air a bunch. So he would be the guy that I think I'd be one-offing from Oakland more than anybody else. But I'm not going to go out of my way to play the Oakland bats today like I was on Monday's slate. And then on the Angels side of things, like I keep saying it, I think they're one of the best teams in baseball against left-handed pitching. But, I mean, they do get very right-handed heavy against even right-handed pitching. I mean, Otani, always a guy. Trout, always a guy. I mean, I think we even have to say, like, Renfro, always a guy.
Yeah, I think so.
Hitting the cover off the ball. But, I mean, outside of those three guys, it gets very thin very fast.
Yeah, so we've had this same situation with, like, so many of the teams on this slate where the top bats on the team are super expensive. And, like, if you play them, like everything else in your lineup's a punt. And when I think about Otani, Trout, Renfro, I would rather play Springer, Vlad, and Bichette. I'd rather play Acuña, Olsen, and Riley. So they're kind of just, I mean, you can always play those guys. More in the Judge Buxton category for me. Yeah, you can always play these guys. And maybe I'll play Otani ahead of Judge, I guess, as the kind of random expensive guy, but I this is a pitching game for me.
I will say, like, if Thassis is in the lineup, Matt Thass, you can play him at catcher on DraftKings at 2300. I don't hate that. I mean, I don't mind getting power upside at catcher at 2300. Everyone knows I like the punt catcher by this time, so
yes.
All right. Kansas City at Arizona, 9.5 total in this game. The website definitely says the roof's going to be open for this one, which is nice hitting conditions. Singer and Nelson facing off against each other. Any interest here in Brady Singer?
On this slate, no. I still very much like Brady Singer and believe in him. Like, I think all these, the crazy amount of runs he's given up, I don't think there's anything to it, and I'm not concerned about it. But this is not a slate where I need him at all. This is not the time to jump in and find out. Arizona's a pesky team. I mean, he's cheap-ish, but like, and again, it is so much about the fact that we have Canning for $800 cheaper and Miller for $1,500 cheaper. So I don't particularly need him. Like, if I have just way too much Canning and Miller and I just have $7,200 sitting around, sure, he's kind of in the pool. But this isn't really the slate or the spot where I want him.
I have a ton of interest in the Arizona bats today. No interest in Singer for me. I don't know what it is with him to start the season, but he's just not generating any soft contact at all. Like, he's sitting at a 54% hard to soft contact ratio through his first four starts this season. I just I need him to like go out and do well. The great hitting conditions. Arizona gets it done in so many different ways with this lineup. So I'm gonna take some shots on Arizona bats. Going to the other side of this game, Nelson, Ryan Nelson here. Any interest in him in this spot?
No.
Man, I like the bats in this game.
Yeah.
Like we have two pitchers. Like this guy doesn't strike anybody out. He's really struggling with like
all power the fly lefties. Balls.
All the fly balls. Like yeah. This game just seems really good, like a potentially really good like game stack, really good, like you know, if you're building like an Atlanta four man or five man and you can go to this game and you know get three bats from one of these teams, like that's what it seems like to me at first glance. Royals bats, any interest here?
Yes, definitely. I didn't really look at the pricing. I assume it's kind of the same as it's always been, where like Perez and Witt are kind of pricey and everything else is free.
Yep.
Which works out perfectly because you can spend at two spots and it gives you catcher and short their best hitters, which is great. And then everything is super cheap. This will be both sides of this will be near the top of my board. And they both sides work for stacking and just picking out one-offs. I love it.
Perez is still 2,700 on FanDuel. Just continues to be. And like people hate playing catcher on FanDuel. Salvador Perez is like one of those actual like catchers that you can play over there.
He's a DH. Yeah. I mean, we should just say that at this point.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to keep getting catcher eligibility. Let's keep it.
Yep.
I have a ton of interest here against Nelson. And then, like I said, I really like the Arizona side of this game. Like, until Singer shows me that he can generate some type of soft contact with his sinker, like, I'm going to keep playing bats against him.
And they're just a sneaky good lineup, you know?
Yeah.
There's really no terribly weak spot anywhere in it.
They do it with so many different like way, like pieces and like running and like stolen base upside is high. They get into scoring position and then like a hit scores, like, and then the next guy runs. Like they just do it so many different ways. Walker got hit by a pitch Saturday. He's missed Sunday and Monday. It doesn't sound like it's like anything super serious. If he's back in there, love his price tag on DraftKings at 3,200. I know. I saw early in the day that you had him tagged as a play that you liked on Lineup HQ on Monday's
slate. I was really hoping he would have played, yeah.
Hey, it worked out because, like, I know that I pivoted a little bit of my Walker exposure to Jesus Aguilar, so I don't know if that happened for you as well, but that kind of worked out. I pivot to Smith, too. Smith's a good hitter. Like, if he's in the lineup again, it doesn't down the lineup too bad. I mean, I like Arizona a lot. Like this might be a team that I five-man stack today, not just use as like a secondary stack, because hitting conditions are going to be some of the best hitting conditions on the slate. And Kansas City bullpen is bottom three. They're bad. They do not strike out hitters and they give up a lot of home runs. So, and Henry's at 64 pitches going into the fifth inning. So like we might have to, or not Henry, the other side. Who
we're talking about?
Keller. Monday's Keller game. Is at 95 pitches going into the fifth. I don't even know if he'll come back out. So, like, we might get into the Kansas City bullpen really early on Monday night, too. So, and they didn't get that day off. So, like, I mean, they played Sunday. So, they're on a little bit of a stretch here. So, I really like the Arizona side of this one.
Yep.
All right. We're finishing it out with St. Louis at San Francisco. No total in this game. We know Woodford's pitching. Everything I've read is it's going to be Sean Manaea, so we'll assume it's going to be him. Any interest in Woodford going up against San Francisco?
No. I want this guy to be okay. He's kind of not that different than like a poor man's Spencer Turnbull, but I don't think we need a poor man's Spencer Turnbull. He's one of the lowest strikeout pitchers in the league, and San Fran against righties is much better. So it's a no for me.
Yeah. I mean, I am tempted to play any pitcher against the Giants, but not Jake Woodford.
That's how I feel.
I got to draw a line somewhere. the other side of this game, Sean Manaea, a lefty against Cardinals? Nope. Not even no. in this ballpark. Nope.
And still, like, he had that one good start this year against the Royals. Otherwise, he hasn't been good in a while, and he's priced up. So very, very easy pass.
Yeah, very easy pass. I mean, I hate the ballpark, geez, you know, for bats here. But, I mean, Sean Manaea, gosh, he's another guy that's just not really missing bats and giving up a ton of fly balls. What do we like here for the Cardinals outside of everybody?
Mostly the everybody is a good call. I do think this is a payout for Goldschmidt day for me, because with all these other big bats, they've been just kind of like not quite perfect. Like, I don't really want to spend up on Judge or Trout or even Guerrero and stuff. So to me, Goldschmidt is maybe my favorite spend up on the slate. Probably mostly just stacking after them. Like, I do like Wilson Contreras. I like Sal Perez better, and they're about the same price. But definitely I'll be doing a bunch of full stacking. But Goldschmidt's the guy I'm picking out, even though he's pricey. I don't feel like I have to spend up everywhere, and you can do cheap pitchers and easily get two or three big bats.
Yeah, I will say this. Like Contreras, more of a ground ball guy. I think he really benefits from a guy like Manaea who gives up fly balls a lot. O'Neill has been hitting the ball on the ground a ton this year as well. Like, I love ground ball hitters against fly ball pitchers. I talk about this all the time. It generates more line drives, which generates better hits. So, listen, all the Cardinals, we don't have to spend a lot of time here. If Manaea is off his game against this team, and this is a guy, like, even if we date the stats back to the start of last year, you know, 350 WOBA, 240 ISO, 40% fly balls on 40% hard contact to righties. Like, you can't do that against this Cardinals lineup. It's too good.
Yeah.
Giants. Oh, the Giants. I mean, Woodford is a guy that when he touches the hill, like, I have interest in the bats. What are we doing with the Giants?
I feel like sadly, I love them, you know, like I really don't want to.
Gosh, I know it's weird, right?
But I really do. Like, and the thing about it is, like, their lefties hit fly balls, and that's the whole thing that you need here. Like, I would say I'm super uncomfortable already with how much I love Jock, Conforto, and it's like I'm going to play so much of these guys.
Haniger's back. It's another bat that, I mean, righty righty, but another. Yeah. Another above average hitter in this lineup when healthy. Assuming that he's healthy, he's back. I mean, so, you know, Mitch Haniger is someone that I think was a low key solid pickup by the Giants this offseason. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we're going to see if he's gotten bats. Hurt yet. 5 innings in. He's still in there. Got to walk still in and there. Everything.
Yeah. He's up to bat right now. Told you, I'm keeping a close eye on Jordan Montgomery. Got some good.
Okay.
Got some live teams.
He ended up okay.
He's okay right now. We'll see. I really need him to get a strikeout prop. That would be fantastic. He needs one more strikeout. He just got Haniger, and he's at 5. One more. Let's get one more.
Yeah, we'll come forward. We'll strike out in just a minute. All right.
We hope so, right? All right. Let's play the morning grind game, and then we will get out of here. Always fun, man. Always a blast when I get to talk some baseball with you. Our schedules are way different. So, like, I never can do crunch time, even though Devin asked me at least twice a month to do some crunch time.
And I'm supposed to be asleep right now. I don't know if you know that.
Listen, it's worth it. You know how much your article is going to write tomorrow? Like, you're going to be hammering it out. Let's play the morning grind game. We're going to use DraftKings pricing and DraftKings scoring. So I'll give you a second to pull that up. We're going to go under 8,000 to get 6 or more strikeouts today. Who do you got?
Mason Miller.
All right. I'm going to go to the same game and say Griffin Canning.
And we over are both correct.
Yeah, we hope so. Over 8,000 to score under 15 DraftKings points. Who's your bust at the top today?
Blake Snell.
I like that one. I'm going to go hoeing. I'll take the layup.
That's on. I'm not trying to cheat here.
I will say, I think if I had to pick someone outside of him, it would probably be Sean Manaea against Cardinals. All right, over 4,000 to hit a home run today. Who's a big bat that you like to go yard today?
Paul Goldschmidt.
I like that one. I'm not going to try to talk anybody off of that. I'm going to go for a little bit cheaper home run today. Give me Dalton Varsho against Clevinger today. Mm-hmm. Under 4,000 to get two hits. Just need to get two singles if they really want to. Who do you got?
That's a lot of scrolling around. Let me look at these teams here. Who do we definitely like? Oh, uh-huh. Let me just click on that team there. Vinny Pasquantino.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I was waiting to see if, like, he was going to be that guy for you. Give me Gariel from Arizona. I'm going to go to that same game. I really like that game. I really like that game. Stack to score six or more runs.
I'll just stick with the Royals.
I like it. I think this is going to be – I think it's going to be a big day for Atlanta, but I don't want to say them. Give me – I don't want to say Toronto either. Give me Arizona. That was another team that I really liked today. Toronto, Atlanta – They're way up there for me today. Cheese, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
My final thought is a pleasure talking to you. If the people are concerned, as they should be, I actually have my ice cream early tonight. So I'm not missing out. Like normally when we started this would have been ice cream time. We did that early. So now I can just go to bed and it's what a tremendous day. Looking forward to watching the pitching in Anaheim tomorrow, today, whenever.
Favorite Ben and Jerry's flavor? What do you got?
Well, what I had about an hour and a half ago, New York Super Fudge Chunk.
Do you want a sleeper that you got to try?
Yeah, I do.
It's called Everything But.
Oh, I've had that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, just absolutely fantastic. Like if you're in the supermarket tomorrow, pick it up. You'll thank me. You'll come in YouTube chat tomorrow and you'll thank me. That's going to wrap it up. Always a blast having Cheese on the podcast. Thanks everyone for hanging out with us on YouTube. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page, trying to get over 1,000 by the end of the year. We're pushing 500. I appreciate every single one of you moving those numbers up fast. So if you haven't already, subscribe to Roto Grinders Premium, where you get to read Cheese's article during the week. Is it Monday through Friday?
Yep.
Monday through Friday. So best article, baseball, hands down. Read it almost every single day. Hope everyone has a fantastic Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow talking more baseball. Good luck. We'll see you then.